Good morning.
Did you enjoy that singing this morning? Amen. We're going to talk about congregational singing in just a few moments, but first a couple things about preview of coming attractions, if you will. Guests, thank you for being with us. We appreciate that. The next two Sundays, we're going to have kind of devotional type sermons. Next Sunday morning on the cross, and then Easter Sunday the 21st on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I look forward to sharing that devotional type service with you from the pulpit. Those are particularly good guest days because it's a time when many guests are beginning to look at church. And it's a good time to invite guests, of course, during these next couple of Sundays. Our Leadership Training for Christ, LTC group, will be heading off shortly in a couple weeks, I believe, because their convention. And we certainly wish them God's blessing. We are blessed to have a number of parents working together with the Leadership Training for Christ to help their kids grow in their knowledge and application of the Christian principles. That's a great opportunity. They'll be gathering with other Christian kids in a conference, and I'd like us to have prayer together for them in that forthcoming conference. Let's pray. Father, thank you for blessing us with children. Thank you, Father, for our children and our teenagers here. I know they're not great in number, Father, but they're great in spirit. We thank you for them. And we pray, Father, your blessings on them as they go to the LTC conference coming up. We pray, Father, you'd give them peace in their hearts and be able to remember what they've studied and be able to do their best. Help them to grow, Father, from these experiences and learn more of you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we want to unpack a little bit about congregational singing, because as a church, we believe in congregational singing. We've practiced it. We believe in it. We want to affirm that. It's important. In fact, most folks would rather that we sing a little more and I preach a little less. And I'm not offended by that. And that's okay, because singing is so much a part of who we are as believers in Jesus. It's been said a song will outlive all sermons in memory. Because once we put something to music, it's amazing how it stays in our minds and our hearts. Now, I believe in good preaching as well as good singing, just in case you're wondering. But both are important. This morning, we're going to focus on congregational singing, because praising God is a good thing to do. It's commanded. It's fun. It's fulfilling. We love to sing, and God deserves to be praised. Amen? That's why we sing. That's why we sing. Let's begin by noticing the power of music in our lives. It's been said if an army travels on its stomach, the church travels on its music. And I believe that's true. Because as we sing together, that music in our hearts enlivens us and it feeds us and it helps us for the journey. It's also been said, I don't care who makes the laws of a nation as long as I get to write its songs. That's why it matters. What we consistently listen to and sing matters. William Congreve said, music has charms to soothe the savage breast, to soften rocks, and to bend the knotted oak. Music can do things that words cannot, because those words set to a tune enter our hearts. Music brings a powerful influence on our emotions. Psychologists tell us we tend to match our mood to the mood of the music we listen to. That's another good reason to listen to good music that upbuilds us. Do you remember Saul at one time was troubled by deep depression, and David was called to sing and to pray and to play for him the harp? Music makes a powerful impact on our emotions. Edwin Downs reminds us, when men have a faith, they sing it. And yes, the church does travel on its music. Well, we believe in congregational singing. There's a tremendous power in the church singing together, and the whole church being the choir, if you will, singing together praise to God. Now, a choir might be more musically precise, because I wouldn't be in it. But there is a power when we all sing together praises to God, even if we're not all concert quality. The wonderful thing about congregational singing is with all of us singing together, we kind of cover up each other's missteps musically. Have you noticed that? That's a good thing about congregational singing, because in a sense, before God, we're all the choir singing praises to Him. Listen to these familiar words from Scripture. I first quote from Ephesians chapter 5, the text that Stephen shared with us. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Here the Apostle Paul says the Christian's high is not getting drunk. The Christian's high is singing praise to God. Let's never forget that that's what God gives us, the opportunity to express our hearts, express our feelings, express our emotions in praise to Him. And Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish each other with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. As we sing our thanksgiving, as we sing our praises to God, it builds us up and it lets the word of Christ dwell in us in a rich way. Notice the one another passage there, in both passages. We sing to each other, we speak to each other, we teach and admonish each other. Singing is a group activity. Now, I can sing in the shower, and that's okay. And I can sing in the car, and that's okay, alone. And it's okay if you want to go sing on the mountaintop. It's okay to do that, but it's a lot more fun to do it with people. Have you noticed that? It's a lot more fun. And that's why God has commanded, encouraged, and exemplified for us to sing to each other and to Him in church. Let's further notice the participatory nature of congregational singing. Peter Sellers, who's a theater producer, said it this way. Vocal music is an attempt to take the whole human being and project it into space. It's the ultimate gesture of getting outside yourself. You take a part of you that is most private, most personal, most inward, and you hurl it into space. You project it as far as you can. You see, have you noticed professional entertainers, as they sing, they don't just stand up there and go, la da 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 da. They never make it. They never make it. They've put their heart and their soul into it. They project themselves. And that's what this theater producer is reminding us, that vocal music is an attempt to take the whole human being and project it into space. To take us from the inside out and project our thoughts and emotions toward others. Bill Moyers has this to say about singing. Singing is the gesture of opening this whole region of the body that results in an enormous spiritual release and is felt by other people with tremendous impact. Are you beginning to see why God wants us to sing? It's for our benefit. Does He need to be praised? Absolutely. Is He worthy of being praised? Absolutely. But we benefit from our singing together. You see, our congregational singing touches the heart, not just the ear, but it touches the heart through the ear. Now, congregational singing was also the practice of the early church. Ignatius, who was a bishop in Antioch at the end of the first century, beginning of the second century, actually, began to say this, now all of you together become a choir so that being harmoniously in concord and receiving the key note from the Father in unison, you may sing with one voice through Jesus Christ to the Father. Here in the early second century, Ignatius is saying, we all together, we all become a choir in the church. We sing together. That's part of what church is singing together. Chrysostom, who was a famous preacher in the late 435th century, said it this way. It was the ancient custom, and is still with us, for all to come together and unitedly to join in singing. The young, the old, the rich, the poor, the male, the female, the bond, the free, all join in one song. You see, when we come together, we come as different ages. We come as different ethnic backgrounds. We come as different educational backgrounds, different social and economic backgrounds. But we are one body in Jesus Christ, and we express that in one song, in congregational singing. I'm not saying that listening to a trained choir can't be spiritually uplifting. Listening to a trained choir can be spiritually uplifting, but that's not for church. Church is where we all participate in making the music and not just hearing the music. We can be spiritually moved by hearing a great singer. I understand that. But the church is a place for mutual participation in Christian music. We value congregational singing. We all sing. We all listen. It's not a spectator sport because, you know, we're all the performers and God's the audience. Amen? We're the ones performing and bringing praise to Him. And I need to sing and not just to listen. Now, a few years ago, I had a bad case of laryngitis. You know, when the preacher gets laryngitis, sometimes people rejoice in his congregation. The preacher's finally silenced. But here's what I remember. I'd come to church and I couldn't sing. I couldn't sing. And I wanted to sing because everyone around me was singing. Everyone else was praising God. And I was listening and I was being edified by listening to them. But there was something inside of me that was wanting to come out, and my voice box wouldn't let it. I understand that emotional, spiritual release that comes when we sing praises to God. Spiritual singing is no spectator sport. We're all on the field. We're all in the playing field, even if my musical abilities are not great. So as a church, we value congregational singing. I need to sing, and I need to hear you sing. Even if we're not concert quality, God doesn't care. It's the heart that counts before God. And that's why we value congregational singing. But we also value and believe in a cappella congregational singing. The most obvious defining value for people that come to a worship service in a Church of Christ is, where's the musical instruments? Where's the piano? Where are the drums? Where's the guitar? Where's the organ? Whatever background there might happen to be. That is a common question. It's not a bad question. I'd like to address that this morning. For centuries after the beginning of the church worshipped a cappella. In fact, the word a cappella literally means as in the chapel. The term a cappella came because that's what the church was doing. It was worshiping a cappella. It was worshiping without musical accompaniment. It's obvious from the reading of Old Testament Jewish worship, it included instrumental accompaniment, but that is not the case in early Christian worship. Dr. Frederick Ritter, a music historian, said it this way: we have no real knowledge of the exact character of the music which formed a part of the early religious devotion of the first century Christians. It was, however, purely vocal. Many early Christians sang in chants and types of music of that nature. And the style is not the question. The question is, was it a cappella or was it instrumental and a cappella? It was not just instrumental music, not instrumental at all. It was a cappella in the early church. Our first record of instrumental music in worship was not until the 8th century. And in the 8th century, it was strongly opposed. A middle-aged theologian, a theologian from the Middle Ages is what I'm trying to say, Thomas Aquinas, 13th century, famous Roman Catholic theologian of the era, said, "Our church does not use musical instruments as harps and psalteries to praise God, that she may not seem to Judaize." He saw that the adding of instrumental music in Christian worship was outside the realm of what Christian worship was to be. And this is from a famous Roman Catholic theologian, 13th century. Even in the Protestant Reformation movement, many of the leaders of the Protestant Reformation rejected instrumental music in Christian worship. John Calvin, John Wesley, Adam Clark, Charles Spurgeon, to name a few, wanted Christian worship to be a cappella. Actually, it's only been in the last couple hundred years that most Christian denominations have adopted instrumental music in worship. What I'm wanting you to see is the addition of instrumental music in Christian worship historically is a rather recent phenomenon among believers in Christ. While it's true that the New Testament doesn't expressly forbid instruments in worship, they are not included in any passages that call us to sing in worship. Instruments are conspicuously absent in our New Testament passages concerning worship. And its absence says something. The question arises sometimes if the silence of Scripture is permissive or prohibitive. I believe it can be either one, and it depends upon the context. For example, if God has given us a specific instruction, that specific instruction excludes all other generalities as possibilities. This is known as the principle of exclusion. I didn't cover this when we went through some of our basic biblical interpretation a few weeks ago because I wanted to save it for this lesson. Let's say you give your kid $20 and say, "Go down to the store and bring some food. Buy me some food." If you don't specify what he comes back with, you're probably going to find your kid coming back with pop and candy and chips and ice cream. Am I right? Because to a kid, that is food. But you didn't specify what to buy. You just simply said, buy some food. By using a general term, he could bring back anything and legally be right with you. You might not approve of his choice, but you didn't specify. But if you said, here's 20 bucks, go to the store and buy milk and bread and eggs. And he comes back with soda pop and candy and ice cream too. You're going to say, wait a minute, I told you to go buy milk, bread, and eggs. What's wrong with you? Didn't you hear me? Because you gave specific instructions, it excludes any generalities that he might so choose. That's called the principle of exclusion. Some time ago, Brother Scott in the lesson gave us a good illustration. I'm going to steal from you again about a pizza. Let's say you got a real hankering for a pepperoni pizza. And you call up Pizza Hut and say, can you deliver a pepperoni pizza? And they say, of course. And in it comes, and it smells so good, but something smells fishy about it. And you open the box, and you go, anchovies! I ordered pepperoni. The guy says, well, there's pepperoni there, but we have a special of free anchovies this month, and you didn't tell us not to, so we put on anchovies. And you go, I hate anchovies! Did Pizza Hut satisfy you? No, because you ordered a pepperoni pizza. If you just said, sing me a pizza any kind, and if they brought you anchovies, you'd have no right to complain. But by specifying pepperoni, that excluded anchovies and broccoli and spinach and any of that other garbage that you probably don't want on your pizza. You see the principle? It's called the principle of exclusion. That's the kind of thinking that we're thinking about here. When God specified Christian music, he said for Christians to sing. And that's why we just sing in worship. The general reason given for using instrumental accompaniment is it helps the singing. Now, I agree that I can learn a song by ear by hearing it played. However, if you look at Christian music from churches that use instrumental music and versus those that don't, for the most part, you'll find that a cappella churches have a lot better singing because we've learned to sing. It's so easy when there's an instrument playing just to say, well, I'm going to let the instrument make the music. But God said, I'm the instrument to make the music. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Actually, instrumental accompaniment, in my view, often takes away from the good singing of a congregation. So we as a congregation choose to sing a cappella, just because the way in the chapel, that's the way God originally designed the church to be. So as a congregation, we do believe in music. We know a church travels on its music. And we believe in congregational singing, all participating. And we practice a cappella, just simple vocal singing, because that's what the early Christians did, and that's what the Bible teaches. And that's what we want to follow. We believe these texts of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish each other with all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to the Lord. And we want to practice Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual song. Singing, make music in your heart to the Lord. We want to follow those passages. And the best way to do that is by simple congregational vocal singing to God. As Christians, we have plenty of reasons to praise God. He has made us. He's redeemed us through the blood of His Son. He's preparing a place for us in eternity. He's remaking us in His image. He's supporting us in our lives. And He's coming back to get us so we can be with Him. This morning, if you're not yet a Christian, we encourage you to put your faith in Jesus. Trust Him as God's Son, risen from the dead. Repent of sin. Decide that the life of sin you've been living is a dead-end street. You need to make a change. It's called a spiritual U-turn. And turn to the Lord. That's repentance. Then you can be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, and rise to walk a new life in Christ. A life oriented toward the cross, and oriented to the Lord of God, the Bible, filled with God's Holy Spirit. If that's your desire this morning, we invite you to accept Jesus, turn your life to Him, be baptized into Him. Or if you need the prayers of the body of Christ in this place, we invite you to make that known publicly. Let's stand together, let's sing. Let your wishes be known by coming to the front.